Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Delivering Justice by Barb Hahn, narrated by Rebecca Mitchell. Chapter 1. For a few seconds, as Tyler O'Brien scaled Diablo's Rock and pushed up onto its crest, everything in the world was peaceful. Looking out onto the land that breathed life into his soul, he couldn't imagine a better place to be. Tyler's gaze swept down, and he muttered a curse as he stared at an overturned four-wheel ATV with an unmoving body splayed out underneath. A dead body was not part of Tyler's lunch plans. Tyler hated accidents. He and his five brothers had inherited the cattle ranch 2 months ago after his parents had died in an accident. New evidence had the sheriff opening a homicide investigation before the will was out of probate. "You okay?" he shouted, wishing for a response, but not really expecting one. Not with the way the body was pinned under the ATV. It was too far away to get a good visual on the person. Yet Tyler had seen enough scenes like this one to get a good feel for how it would turn out. Cell phone coverage was non-existent on this part of the ranch, so he couldn't call for an ambulance or the sheriff. He'd left his walkie-talkie with Digby, his gelding. Most ranchers used ATVs and pickup trucks for convenience when checking the vast amount of fencing on a ranch the size of the Cattleman Crime Club, but Tyler figured his horse needed the exercise, and it made him feel connected to the land to do things the way his father had. His ranch hands used ATVs, and for a split second, he feared one of them might be below, but the area around Diablo's Rock was Tyler's to check. Maybe someone had their wires crossed, or a group of thrill-seekers had wandered onto the land, and one got separated. His pulse kicked into high gear as he moved into action, digging the heels of his boots into the rocky 40-foot drop, one careful step at a time. He scanned the horizon, looking for the rest of the ATV party. There was no sign of anyone else as far as the naked eye could see. Diablo's Rock wasn't a good area for people new to ATVs, and only an idiot would come out here alone. There were black bears and copperhead snakes, badgers, and all manner of wildlife running around this part of Texas. The land was beautiful, and its danger only enhanced Tyler's respect for it. It was a reminder that people weren't always at the top of the food chain. An unprepared person could end up at the wrong end. The closer Tyler descended toward the body, the more his pulse spiked. He could tell that the figure was smaller than a man, and that definitely ruled out one of his employees. As he approached, he could clearly see the creamy skin of long legs, which meant the woman either had on shorts or a dress. He assumed shorts, considering the fact that she wore running shoes. Neither outfit was appropriate this time of year, which struck Tyler as odd if she'd been planning on this excursion. Wouldn't she dress for the occasion? Thanksgiving was right around the corner. The average temperature in November was in the 60s in this part of Texas, and this week had been colder than usual, barely breaking 50 with a blanket of cloud coverage most days. A good part of the reason he'd intended to eat lunch on the rock was that the sun had finally broken through and its heat would reflect on the surface, offering a warm place to eat. Then again, maybe the visitor hadn't planned on being out there at all. When Tyler got closer, maybe he'd recognize her face. The notion she could be someone he knew prickled his throat, as if he'd swallowed a cactus. People wandered off trails and did all kinds of random things while on scheduled hunting expeditions, but there was nothing on the calendar, and the safety record on their land was unblemished. Right up until now, he thought. The ATV had flipped over and was on top of her. At first blush, she looked trapped. He shoved thoughts that she could be a young runaway or in trouble to the back of his mind while he moved around the ATV, trying to get a better look at her positioning. Her body was positioned awkwardly and close to the handlebars, but she wasn't being pinned by them as he'd first suspected. On closer appraisal, the ATV wasn't touching her at all, and that was the first positive sign he'd had so far. He couldn't tell how bad the damage was to her body from this angle, and he didn't see any signs of her breathing. As soon as he rounded the side of the vehicle, he noticed blood splattered on the rocks next to her head. He was no expert at analyzing an accident scene, but he'd heard enough stories around the campfire from their family friend, Sheriff Tommy Johnson, to to know the splatter most likely came from an injury to her head, an impact hard enough to create that amount of blood, wasn't good. She was face down in the dirt, with her head angled toward the side he was standing on, not that he could see past that thick red mane of hers. This didn't look good at all. He'd make the short hike back to Digby in order to use his walkie-talkie to call for someone to pick her up. And it was such a shame that a young woman's life had been cut short. "We'll get you out of here soon," Tyler said softly, dropping to his knees to get a better look at her face. She wasn't wearing a backpack, nor did she have a purse. A physical description might help the sheriff identify her. Tyler brushed hair away from her face, expecting to see her eyes fixed, and then checked her neck for a pulse. She blinked sea-green eyes instead, and mouthed the words, "Help me." She was alive? Shocked, Tyler nearly fell backward. His pulse pounded even faster as he located hers on her wrist, which was strong. "You're okay. I'm going to get you out of here." Tyler had enough training and experience to know better than to move her. He needed to reposition the ATV so he could better assess her injuries. Just as he pushed up to his feet, her arm moved, and then her leg. Was she trying to climb out from under the machine? "Hold still there," he said. "Let me get this out of the way." Tyler dropped his backpack and hoisted the ATV upright and away from her body. It popped up onto all four wheels. His right shoulder pinched at the movement. The old injury liked to remind him of the reason he didn't have a pro baseball career anymore, and he rubbed the sore spot, trying to increase blood flow. The mystery woman had managed to roll onto her side and was trying to climb away.
"I'm not going to hurt you, so you don't have to go anywhere," he said. "I have water. Are you thirsty?"
She nodded. Based on her pallor and the freshness of the blood on the rocks, she couldn't have been out there for long. That was the second good sign so far. He had medical supplies in his saddlebag, enough to dress a field wound. He could tend to that gash and try to stem the bleeding while they waited for help to arrive. It wouldn't take long to scale Diablo's rock, get to his horse, and then return with provisions, but he didn't like the thought of leaving her alone.
"What's your name?"
He went down on a knee next to his backpack, pulled a bottle of water out of the main compartment, and unscrewed the cap before offering her the bottle. He shrugged out of his denim jacket, draping it over her. She looked like she was drawing a blank in the name department as she took the water and poured the liquid over her lips. They were pink, which was a good sign. She couldn't have been out there for long. It didn't surprise him that she'd temporarily forgotten her name and other details about her life, given the blow she'd taken to her head. Tyler had witnessed plenty of concussions out on the baseball field. The good news here was that she could recover, a huge relief considering he'd started the afternoon thinking he would be reporting a body.
"Do you have ID?" he asked.
She looked panicked and disoriented.
"Mind if I check your pockets?"
She shook her head, angling the bottle to get more water into her mouth than her last attempt. Again, she failed miserably. He scooted closer to her. At this distance, he could see the dirt on her clothes. The cotton long-sleeved shirt was a deep shade of green that highlighted her lighter-colored eyes.
"Let me help you."
He cradled the base of her neck with his right hand, ignoring the spark of electricity shooting through him. He shouldn't be feeling attracted to her. A sexual current couldn't be more inappropriate under the circumstances. He didn't care how beautiful she was, and she was beautiful, with her sea-green eyes, creamy complexion, and heart-shaped mouth. He'd force himself to look away from her lips if it didn't mean that he'd spill water all over her face. But feeling a real attraction to a woman he'd found lying helpless on his land a few minutes ago? Nice one, O'Brien. When she signaled that she'd had enough to drink, he set the bottle within her reach and then pushed up to his feet.
"Okay, I'll just check for that ID, okay?"
She nodded her agreement and winced with the movement.
"Did you come out here with anyone?"
he asked, chalking his physical reaction up to his overactive protective instincts. Looking startled, she glanced around. Then she shook her head.
Another fact she might be fuzzy on, given that hit she'd taken to her forehead.
A group?
He continued. The only thing he knew for certain was that she wasn't from around Bluff. It was dangerous for tourists to get lost on a massive ranch like this. She was darn lucky he, and not a black bear or hungry coyote, had found her. She squinted her eyes. A raging headache was one of the side effects of a concussion. Luckily, that could be dealt with by popping a few pain relievers. Tyler had those in his pack, too, but the doctor would want him to wait to give them to her. Tyler didn't want to notice her full hips or sweet round bottom as he checked her back pockets. If he could think of another way to search her front pockets, he'd be game. As it was, he had to slip his fingers into them and ignore the way her stomach quivered. It was safe to say that she had no ID. For the moment, neither of them knew who she was. Maybe her handbag or backpack had gone flying when she'd crashed. He scanned the ground, taking a few steps in one direction and then another. No cell phone or purse could be seen anywhere, and that struck him as odd. Tyler couldn't think of one woman he knew who would go anywhere without her cell, and that fact put a few more questions in his mind that he didn't have answers to. Like, if she was alone, why wouldn't she have supplies or ID? The panic in her eyes didn't help matters either. Of course, waking up to a stranger and not being able to remember who she was or where she'd been would cause a certain level of panic in any normal person. Hers bothered him, and he wished there was more that he could do to put her at ease. He pushed his feelings aside as just needing to offer comfort to a stranger. It couldn't be anything more than that. He'd only known her for 10 minutes, and when it came right down to it, he still didn't know her. He didn't even know her name.
"I'm going to send for help," he said.
Her eyes pleaded, filled with more of that panic he didn't like seeing. But she didn't argue. Then again, she hadn't said anything except, "help me," since he'd found her.
"It's okay. I'm coming right back. I promise,"
he added to ease her concern. He whistled, hoping the family's chocolate lab, Denali, was somewhere within earshot. He could keep her company. After a few seconds of quiet and no Denali, Tyler said,
"My horse is tied up on the other side of that rock, and I need to get there so I can contact my men and send for medical attention."
She didn't relax, but she nodded, wincing again at the movement. That was going to be one hell of a headache when the dust settled. As Tyler got to his feet, he scanned the area for any signs of wildlife. In her weakened state, he doubted she could fight off a flea. He pulled out his pocket knife anyway, and her hand met his faster than he'd thought possible for hers to move.
"It's okay. I'm here to help."
She nodded as she took the knife.
"I'll be back in a few minutes."
He filed her reaction away as another interesting thought. If she'd come out alone, what was she really afraid of? Him? Animals? She'd come out by herself without identification or a way to defend herself. This patch of land wasn't anywhere near a road. Clearly, he'd never met the woman before, but he didn't have to know her to realize that she didn't look the type to wander off on her own on a four-wheeler. Not that she looked weak, or like she couldn't handle herself in most situations, but the type of clothes and shoes she wore didn't fit with the activity, and those expensive running shoes belonged out here about as much as a woman wearing a light jacket in the cold. She didn't give the impression that she was a bandana-wearing thrill-seeker, nor did she particularly strike him as a granola-eating nature girl, especially since the latter wouldn't be in the driver's seat of a four-wheeler. There was another thing that bugged him as he walked away from the accident. He'd noticed another set of tire tracks when he scanned the ground for her personal belongings, which meant there could have been another person involved. If she and a friend had ventured onto this land by mistake, what kind of jerk would leave her alone in her condition? Then again, with no cell service, the other person might have been forced to go for help. And it wasn't like Red was talking. All she'd said so far was, "help me." Pretty much anyone in her situation would say the same thing. Tyler quickened his pace. If there was someone on his land searching for reception, he needed to get a search team out while there was still plenty of daylight. The accident might have already been called in. If the person wasn't familiar with the area,
He or she might not be able to lead rescuers to Red. Even so, a person would have to be new at this to panic and leave an injured person alone with all the dangerous wildlife here on the ranch. A darker side of him also noted that this would be the perfect way to cover up an attempted murder. Tyler wrote off the sentiment as the result of learning that his parents had been murdered. He would like nothing more than to solve the case that had been made to look like an accident. Thinking about it made him angry. Who would want to hurt his family? He shelved those thoughts for now. Another one struck him about the mystery woman. If the scene back there had been an attempted murder, then the murderer could still be around. With her lying there, vulnerable and alone, it wouldn't take much to finish the job. Tyler crested Diablo's Rock and took the backside just as fast, shivering in the cold breeze. He'd tied Digby to a tree in a spot where his horse could decide if he wanted to be in the shade or not. The gelding was standing in the sun, right where Tyler had left him. He blew out a breath as he pulled his walkie-talkie out of his saddlebag and got hold of his foreman, Russ.
"What can I do for you, boss?"
Russ asked.
"There's been a four-wheeler incident at the base of Diablo's Rock. A woman took a pretty bad hit to her head. She's not going anywhere without help."
"You don't know who she is?" Russ asked. It was more statement than question.
"Never seen her before. She doesn't have any ID on her, and I'd put money on the fact she has a concussion."
"Sounds like a mess,"
Russ agreed.
"Hold on for one second, boss."
Tyler would never get used to the title, even though he owned just as much of the ranch as his brothers. Together, they had a 95% interest, or would, as soon as the will was out of probate, which would take another 10 months. The other 5% had been divided between Pop's only living brother and sister a few years ago. Uncle Ezra and Aunt Bee didn't agree on much of anything except being taken care of. The two of them were as alike as a water moccasin and a frog. Pop had included them both in ownership of the ranch to help take care of them financially as they aged, since Bee's daughter had left for California and Ezra's only son had died before his 10th birthday. The family cattle ranch was the biggest in Texas, both in land and net profit. As if that wasn't enough, the hunting club brought in more money than they could spend, much to the benefit of the many charities their mother had loved, a tradition Tyler and his brothers had every intention of continuing in her honor. Even though the family had money, and the boys had grown up knowing that they stood to inherit the highly successful family business, none had relied on that inheritance. All six O'Brien brothers had a deep-seated need to make their own way and depend on themselves. None were like their aunt or uncle, who seemed content to ride their successful brothers' coattails, especially Uncle Ezra, who had been angling to sell his interest or be given more control over the hunting club in recent months. Tyler's older brother Dallas figured the man was getting bored in his old age and wanted more to keep him busy. Tyler hoped that was all there was to it, especially since it was his job to keep the peace. Of all the sons, he was the best negotiator, and he talked Ezra down for the time being. They'd already set aside 1% of theirs for Janice, their housekeeper, who would be wealthy enough not to work for the rest of her life, although she'd said she was way too young to retire.
"I have emergency personnel on their way to the Rock,"
Russ said, interrupting Tyler's heavy thoughts. Thoughts he'd volunteered to ride fences to try to stem in the first place. Ranch hands called Tyler a Renaissance man for doing things the old-fashioned way, but the truth was that it was as good for Tyler's soul as it was for Digby's health. Being out on the land on his horse made him feel connected and whole in a way he couldn't easily explain, nor did he care to examine.
"Let Tommy know about this, will you? Someone might be sick with worry looking for her," he said.
The sheriff had been Dallas O'Brien's best friend and like a brother to the rest of the O'Brien boys. He'd grown up on the land. His uncle, Chill Johnson, had worked for Pop as long as Tyler could remember. Tommy had come to live with his uncle after his parents died.
"Will do, boss. I'll see if the sheriff can meet you at the hospital to take statements. Maybe he can help figure out who she is."
Russ knew Tyler well enough to realize that he wouldn't be able to walk away until he knew the mystery woman was all right. Silence meant Russ was taking care of that phone call right now, which was good, because if someone had already reported her missing, then Tyler might be able to bring back more than medical supplies.
he might be able to give her an identity. And if that second set of tire tracks had someone frantically searching for help, Tyler could ease that burden as well.
Sheriff said no one called in an emergency or missing persons report, Russ said.
Tyler feared as much.
Said he'll meet her at the hospital since he's tied up on another interview right now,
Russ continued. If no one was looking for her, then Tyler had to consider other possibilities for those tire tracks.
Much appreciated, he said to Russ. Have someone ready to take Digby from me so I can head to the hospital as soon as I get back to the barn, and send out a search team and the chopper to make sure there's no one out here lost.
Tyler thanked Russ before ending the transmission and starting the journey back toward the red-headed mystery. He couldn't completely ignore the fear that he'd return to a lifeless body. She'd been upright and responsive, so he'd taken those as positive signs. Being away from her while she was vulnerable had his blood pressure spiking faster than a pro volleyball player. He picked up his pace, needing to see for himself that she was still okay. At the faster speed, he crested Diablo's Rock in half the time. Part of him wondered if she could have managed to crawl away. She'd seemed determined and half scared out of her wits, a combination that could be dangerous or deadly, and left him wondering what really had her so freaked out. He found her right where he'd left her. His pulse had slowly wound back to a decent clip when he saw that she was still conscious, and yet something else he couldn't quite put his finger on was eating away at him. What was the creepy fire ants crawling on his spine feeling about, anyway? Danger, for one thing, in the form of poachers. Sure, there were poachers in South Central Texas. People looked for trophies and illegally hunted on the large ranches in the area, which created a dangerous situation for all involved. The O'Briens worked diligently to keep the land free of people who trespassed to hunt or steal game, so the risk should be minimal. If it wasn't poachers, then what was it? The fact that so many things didn't add up. A beautiful single woman alone on a four-wheeler in territory she didn't know and wasn't dressed for. Yep, that made about as much sense as a deer-eating barbecue.
Help is on the way,
he said, trying to give her hope to hold on to, wishing he could do more. He knelt next to her and opened his medical supply kit.
Thank you, she managed to get out.
My apologies if this hurts.
It was going to hurt. The gash on her forehead was deep and had him worried. He poured clean water over it and then dabbed antibiotic ointment onto an oversized gauze bandage, pressing it to her forehead to stem the bleeding. She seemed determined not to give in to the pain, or maybe she was just too weak. It didn't take long for the cavalry to arrive. Tyler heard the chopper moving toward them before he got a visual on it. A helicopter was the only logical choice for rescue workers to use in order to access this part of the land. Otherwise, they'd have to take her on one hell of a bumpy ride to get her to a main road, and that could jeopardize her condition. Tyler saw the chopper moments before the pilot landed. From there, it was only 20 yards to reach him and Red. The land was flat enough to manage easily on foot. As emergency personnel neared, the mystery woman squeezed Tyler's hand. He glanced at her and saw that same look of fear in her eyes. What was that all about? Didn't she realize this was the help she needed? Depending on how bad that blow to the head was, she might not recognize them as the people who would help her. That had Tyler more worried than when he'd found her. Just how badly injured was she? The blow she'd taken to the head looked bad. He'd give anyone that. But her panic looked like she was in one of those horror flicks being chased by an axe murderer.
It's okay. I know these men. They'll take care of you,
he tried to reassure her. Tyler had known the EMTs, Andy and Shanks, for years. They were good guys. Doherty would be piloting the chopper. Tyler didn't need to see him to know that. So what was up with the way she kept squeezing his hand, looking like she was trying to say something?
Chapter 2. The heel of Tyler's boots clicked against the white tile floor in the hospital hallway as he neared room 367 to check on Red. He removed his gray Stetson before crossing the threshold,
pausing long enough to finger-comb his hair and chew on the facts. No one had reported the mystery redhead as missing or reported the accident. That had not been the news he was expecting, and it made him worry that some other outsider was on his property, hurt, lost, or just a damned fool who was hunting illegally and ditched the redhead when her ATV overturned. Something he couldn't quite put his finger on had his radar on full alert, and it was more than just finding her in the condition he had. Tyler pushed open the door at Bluff General and walked inside Red's room. Her eyes were closed. The bed had been raised so that she was halfway sitting, and she had an IV attached to her left arm. He'd seen enough of the inside of hospital rooms to know the IV most likely contained fluids and possibly antibiotics to stem infection, all good things that her body needed to recover. In fact, the fluid seemed to be working magic already, because there was a rosy hue in the creamy complexion on her cheeks now. Her forehead had a proper bandage on it, and his makeshift head wrap had been replaced with clean, white gauze. Since she looked to be resting peacefully and he didn't want to disturb her, he figured this would be a good time to visit with her doctor and find Tommy to see if he'd managed to get a statement or put a name to Sleeping Beauty here. Her eyes fluttered open, and he felt like a fool for staring at her. "How are you?" he asked, for lack of anything better to say. Even through the gauze and tape, she was stunning.
"Better," she managed to squeak out. Her throat sounded scratchy.
It was the dry air. He set his cowboy hat down on the chair and moved next to her bed. Now that she seemed able to speak, maybe he could find out if there were others on his land, or if he should call off the search.
"What's your name?" he asked.
She made a move to speak, but coughed instead. Her gaze locked onto a large white mug situated on the wheeled table next to her bed, just out of reach.
"You thirsty?"
he asked as he moved to the mug.
"Yes, please," came out on a croak.
At least she was talking and making sense. Those were good signs.
"Were you alone earlier?"
he asked as he held the oversized mug filled with ice water toward her. She eagerly accepted, but didn't answer. After a few small sips, she leaned her head against the pillow, but her eyes never left Tyler's face. Those sea-green eyes stayed fixed on him, panic and fear still there.
"Do you know who you are?"
he asked, setting the mug down on the tray and then repositioning it so that she could reach water whenever she wanted.
"Jennifer," she said,
throat still scratchy but sounding much better. Her voice had a nice pitch to it.
"Who are you?"
"Tyler O'Brien. My brothers and I own the land you were on earlier."
Her gaze darted toward the door, and then her eyes widened in fear, so Tyler turned to follow her line of sight. A decent-looking man in his early 30s walked in. His gaze ricocheted between Jennifer and Tyler. He was several inches shorter, so Tyler guessed he was around 5'11". He was on the thin side, built like a runner, and had sandy blonde hair. A fresh-looking pink sunburn dotted his tanned nose and cheeks. Tyler didn't recognize him.
"Honey," the man said with a sigh, and seemed to pour on the drama if anyone asked Tyler. "I've been so worried about you."
Tyler glanced at Jennifer in time to see a moment of sheer panic, so he stepped in between them, blocking Tanface's path.
"Name's Tyler."
He stuck out his hand.
"What happened to you, honey? Are you all right?"
Tanface said, sidestepping Tyler and his hand.
"Hold on there, pal,"
Tyler said, placing his hand on Tanface's shoulder, ensuring he couldn't get to Jennifer's bedside.
"I didn't catch your name."
"James Milton," he said, puffing out his chest like a cobra, looking none too thrilled that Tyler had put a hand on him.
"Do you mind?" he asked. "My fiance is lying in a hospital bed, and she's none of your business."
Fiance? Tyler didn't normally misjudge situations. His instincts were usually spot on. Red seemed scared of the man, but if the two of them were engaged, then he needed to take a step back. Some lines shouldn't be crossed, no matter how irritated the man's presence made Tyler. He let go of the man's shoulder.
It might be better to take a wait-and-see approach to this one. Tyler told himself that he'd leave as soon as he knew she was going to be fine. Besides, he needed to make sure.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?